Isaiah declared, "He was wounded for our transgressions." Indeed, Jesus was mortally wounded on the cross. The Bible reveals this truth. Although these wounds were inflicted by Roman soldiers and approved by Jewish leaders, in actual fact, God Himself was the one behind the crucifixion of His own Son. To learn more about this great mystery, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Today's teaching is about His wounds, our healing, and where some of those wounds came from.
Now we have to pause for a moment, and I realize that I'm speaking to many people today who have wounds that have been given to them by enemies. Some of you also have wounds that have been given to you by friends. Some of you have had your childhood stolen because of abuse. Some of you have gone through experiences of betrayal and hurt and anger, and all those things are within you, and you know what it's like to receive the wound, a wound from an enemy and a wound from a friend. But I want you to know today, folks, that there's someone else involved in Christ's wounds, and that is God. If He was afflicted by men, He was also afflicted by God. You'll notice it says in verse 4, we read it a moment ago, "Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered Him stricken by God." Wow. Verse 10, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Him." I like the King James, I think, that says it pleased the Lord to crush Him. You say, well, did God do the crucifixion? Did He do the dirty work? No. But as evil men did it, His purposes were being carried out. Those of you who attend here know that we often come across this anomaly, or I should say, a convergence of God's purposes with man's evil. We come across that in the Scriptures. That is to say that men carry out their evil designs, but even as they do that, it's part of God's picture. There is this convergence. That's a good way to say it. We can't understand it. We can talk about it. We can try to explain it, but it turns out to be a conundrum. The reason I use that word is several months ago, a woman in this church told me that I was a conundrum, and I had no idea what it meant. And so I got the dictionary out, and I discovered that a conundrum is a riddle. And so I guess I'm a riddle wrapped in an enigma, as the saying goes. I cannot tell you exactly how the sovereign purposes of God and the actions of evil men converge, but they sure do, because He was smitten by God. God inflicted Christ there on the cross. And as we shall see in this series of messages, the first purpose of the cross is for God and not for us. You say, is that right? That's exactly what Paul taught in the book of Romans. You see, if I may put it this way, God had a problem. And the problem was that His righteousness needed to be appeased because He had done some things in the Old Testament that on the surface appeared to be compromising His justice, and He needed to straighten it out. You find in the Old Testament people were being forgiven and there was no sacrifice for sin. They were bringing animals, but the animals could not forgive them. And you get to David, who committed murder and adultery, and he cries up to God and God forgives them. And catch this, there is no such thing even as a sacrifice in Old Testament times for murder and adultery. That's why he says, "You desire a sacrifice, but I can't give it because there's none prescribed. You're supposed to be put to death." And here God comes along and wipes His slate clean. And you can look at it and say, well, that's not right. Where's God's justice in this? Pretending it didn't happen? And the answer is no. God says, "I am saving you on credit because a day is coming when Jesus will bear David's sin." So Jesus had to die to do that. Ours as well, but the Old Testament. You say, well, where's that in Romans? In Romans 3, the Apostle Paul says, "God set forth Christ as a propitiation, as an atonement, to declare the justice of God." because of sins that were passed by in the Old Testament, that God might be just and the justifier of those who believed in Jesus. So God says, I need a sacrifice whereby these sins of the Old Testament could actually be taken away, as well as sins that will be committed by a group of people who have not yet lived, namely us, and therefore to appease my justice, Christ must die. It pleased God to smite him. His wounds were inflicted by others, by enemies, by a friend, but also by God. You have to hang on to that, because in a few moments we'll see that for some of you that's going to bring some healing to your life. Let's have a second fact regarding his wounds. His wounds blessed others. I love this passage. But he was wounded for our transgressions. I took a red pencil and I underlined in my Bible that little word "our" in verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace, that brought us peace, was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. His wounds blessed us, my friend, today. You see, they purchased our forgiveness. It says the same thing in verse 6. And in verse 11, it talks about the wonder, the suffering of his soul brings satisfaction and it brings peace. His wounds blessed us. Now, the thing is that as a result of that, the Father was satisfied, as we know, and we've been blessed. I need to pause here and say that your wounds can bless someone else as well. You know, we always want to be healed from our wounds, and what we don't understand is that there is such a thing as God using our wounds to his glory. But before I share that, there's something else that I must clarify. You say, well, does this mean that Jesus Christ, when it says by his wounds we are healed, does this mean that he died for our physical bodies too? And the answer is, of course he died for our physical bodies. He died to redeem us, body, soul, and spirit. We were purchased by God, all of us, not just our souls, not just our spirits, but our bodies were purchased. We were bought by Christ in total, in completeness. You say, well, does that mean then that we can have healing whenever we want it? And the answer is no. You see, there are many people who take a correct premise, but they draw a wrong conclusion. Simple fact, my friend, is that when Jesus died on the cross, he purchased all that we will ever need to take us into the presence of God. But he also, at that time, purchased our resurrection body, which we do not yet have. He also died that he might abolish death. But guess what? Unless Jesus Christ comes soon, many of us are going to die. Even faith healers die. And you must keep that in mind. It is wrong to say that we can be healed now whenever we want to be, because if you say that, then you should say we should be able to escape death too. In fact, my family had some friends who believed that. They believed that they were going to live until Jesus Christ returned, because they were going to be receiving physical healing moment by moment, day by day. Christ was going to keep healing them. Well, both of them happened to die in a car accident. There are many different ways to die, aren't there? There is today a pervasive teaching that you find particularly on the part of some TV teachers that is just harmful to the body of Christ. People are told that if you're not healed, it's because you don't have faith. If you get healed, you thank the faith healer because he has the power to heal you. If you're not healed, it's your fault, because if you had believed, you would have been healed. The pain that is caused, the sense of what shall we say, the guilt that is caused by that wrong theology. Yes, it was all purchased, but it isn't all ours today. There is a not yet in Scripture. And the not yet is when we stand in the presence of Christ. His wounds blessed others. By his stripes we are healed. But let me ask you another question. What about your wounds? Can they bless others? Absolutely. You know, there's a play by Thornton Wilder entitled The Angel That Troubled the Waters. And in this play, based on the book of John chapter 5, you remember at the pool of Bethesda, where there was a legend that an angel came and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling stepped in, the person was healed. You remember that story? And the play is based on it. And there was a physician who struggled with melancholy, and he wanted to get in on the healing. So he'd always show up, and he'd always wait for the troubling of the water. And one day the angel showed up, and he thought to himself, I'm the first one who's going to step in. But the angel said, no, physician, draw back. And then the angel said this to him. He says, it is your melancholy that makes your low voice tremble in the hearts of those who listen to you. And the angel says, not even angels can do what one human being broken on the wheel of life can do. I say to those of you today who are brokenhearted, whose whole focus is for healing, so to speak, could I say it again? Not even an angel can do what one human being broken on the wheel of life is able to do. And then someone else steps into the pool on the play, and when he comes out, he says to the physician, would you come home with me, because I have a son who lives in darkness, and he has deep, dark thoughts, and I cannot help him, but I know that you will, and I have a daughter who, ever since she lost her child, is sitting in the shadows. You come and speak. My children will not listen to me, but they will listen to you. My dear friend, I want you to know that your wounds can bless others. This is Pastor Lutzer. Yes, my friend, it is true that our wounds can be used to bless others. A moment ago in the message, I referred to the Pool of Bethesda. You may remember that in the Gospel of John. Johnny Erickson Tada, who is known to many of us, she's the quadriplegic. She experienced this great tragedy in a diving accident. She says that when that happened, she began to pray for healing. She was told by friends that she would be healed. She attended Faith Healers, and the story that meant most to her was that one in the 5th chapter of John about the Pool of Bethesda. But as you know, she was never healed. Many, many years later, about 30 years later, she said that she was actually in Jerusalem and stood at the Pool of Bethesda. And her mind went back to those early days when that story of Christ's willingness to heal someone who had an infirmity, her mind went back to that story, and she bowed her head and thanked the Lord that she had never been healed. Yes, she had hoped for healing in those early days, but in retrospect, she realized that what God did in her and through her as a result of her tragedy was much greater than would have happened if she'd been healed. So, my friend, this word of encouragement, yes, our wounds can bless others.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part 2 of His Wounds, Our Healing, the first of 8 messages on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Tomorrow, more on what the wounds of Christ mean and what they do. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross is more than a series. It's a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer that we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.